I gotta go.
I love you.
Are you pushing me off the phone?
No. Let's talk for a long time.
Goodbye.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, everybody, this is Kevin Farley, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast. Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the mighty, the strong, homemade broadcast, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back, folks. That means it's Sunday or Tuesday or maybe someday in the future when you found this while drunk and surfing the internet. And you said, what the heck is this? And then you probably stopped it at this point. But if you didn't, thanks. Thanks for listening this week, folks. We're going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects in the world this week. We're going to be talking booze. That's right. Jennifer Cedillo is going to be joining me. She is the director of the Brewing Arts Program at University of South Florida, St. Petersburg, where I am a mighty alum from that school and only owe them about $40,000. And I got my English degree 8 years later. No, I'm not a doctor. I went to school for 8 years, but I am no doctor. I started doing some work around my house. I just decided I was going to take some stuff down, simplify my life, man. And I was talking to Jen about this. You'll hear it momentarily here. But I always thought, like, you know, I'm not very good at construction work or home repairs or anything like that. And usually there's a trade-off in that. Like, I'd be autistic with, like, math or something, but I'm not. I suck at everything, pretty much. So it's kind of a bummer, you know? It's a humbling experience being me. Let's just put it that way. Anyway, this program is brought to you by, completely sponsor-supported, by the way. Obviously, I'm not making money off of this, believe it or not. So yeah, I mean, this program has sponsors, and we thank them very much. The illustrious Tap House 61. Check out taphouse61.com, the all-new Tap House 61, located at 2061 Central Avenue. I asked Joe, how did you get your name? And then he started to explain it to me, and I was like, yeah, I know. I know how you got your name. But Joe's a good man, and he's been one of our, I think he's been with us pretty much since the beginning. He was our first sponsor. So thank you, Joe. Go drink his beer and enjoy it. Booze. It's a common theme here today on this show. And also, thank you very much to Truvie Salon and Spa, T-R-U-V's in Victor, Y, salonandspa.com. Chrissy Parker down there doing all your beautification needs, haircuts, colors. What else do you do at, I don't know if maybe she does nails. I don't know. I don't think so. I think she primarily is sticking with the top of your head and whatever's on top there. She'll rustle it around and make you pretty. So make sure you go see her. You can make an appointment. TruvieSalonAndSpa.com. Don't forget the and, okay? It's very important. T-R-U-V is in Victor. Y. Truvie is how you spell that. And thank you to Christine at K9 Holistics. That's K, the number 9, holistics.com. She specializes in dog training. Do you have a dog? Is he a jerk? Well, Christine is the one to talk to. She does good work. I've seen it firsthand. She does it more in a, holistic way. Again, where'd you get your name, Christine? Yeah, I know. You do it in an all organic, natural fashion. And she gives free consultations and she will make your dog not a jerk. So make sure you go see her, K9holistics.com. So this week, yes, we're talking booze, man, my favorite subject. Make sure you follow the show. HMBradio.com. You can get in contact with us by phone or text 813-693-2124. Let me send you some stickers. Email me your address. I know you might not want me having your address. I don't really blame you. But maybe you got a P.O. box. You can send that to me. Just email thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com or leave a message on Facebook at HMB Radio. You can message me on Twitter, even at @home_made_man. Make sure you follow Radio St. Pete as well. There's Radio St. Pete, Radio STPETE on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. They've consolidated everything, so it's nice and easy to find. And then make sure you subscribe to the podcast, because sometimes we do extra stuff that isn't heard on Radio St. Pete, like we did the HMB sides, which is exclusive to HMBradio.com. We talked to Chef Jeff Philbin from Master Chef. We did another like half an hour, so that was a really good one. So make sure you check that out. Subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, and make sure you give it a 5-star rating if you would. It only takes a second, really helps us out. And I guess that's it. Let's talk booze. My favorite subject in the world, if I haven't told you before, with Jennifer Cedillo, the director of the Brewing Arts at University of South Florida, St. Petersburg.
So put them on now? Or?
Yeah, go ahead. Jennifer, how do you say your last name?
Cedillo.
Cedillo, that's what I thought. I always ask because I have a goofy last name and people say it wrong constantly.
Tell me how you say yours.
Kuntz.
Kuntz, okay.
Yeah. It's spelled in a funky way, and the first day of school was a little tough for me always.
Sure.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, the place is a mess. I decided to remodel just before you came here. I had shelves up on this wall, and I don't like them anymore. So I decided to take them down, and now I have everything all over the place.
Ah, no worries.
I'm going to try to do the minimalist thing, I think.
Oh,
I'm going
nice.
To get rid of everything in here, pretty much.
I always wish I could do that, and I'd probably still have a storage unit where everything was.
Yeah, right, and then you just have your home. Yeah. Well, that's fine. I feel like the living quarters are where it's most important to be open and
sure.
free, you know?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I didn't get... like that gene where you're good at doing home stuff. My dad's really good at it, right? He's I went over to his house and he just bought a house. So I went over and his kitchen's gutted. It's destroyed. He's got wires hanging out of the walls. And like I got woozy when I saw it. Oh, God. Like that seems like, but he's just like, yeah, you know, I'm going to, you know, rewire this and put new cabinets in. And I didn't get that gene. So he told me when I moved in here, like, you're on your own.
Aww.
I'm not helping you with shelves or any of that anymore.
I bet if you brought him over, he'd feel, like, compelled, you know?
No,
like,
he
no,
wouldn't.
Because no.
I'm finding I'm more like him the older I get, and I would just be like, no, I'm not doing it. You can do that yourself. It's not a big deal. So, I patched it up. It looks good, though, right?
Yeah,
the wall
I
looks good.
I wouldn't have known there were shelves there.
Yeah, the whole wall was pretty much shelves. I patched them and everything, and I had all my art supplies and stuff on it. But I think I'm going to give up doing art entirely.
Aw, that's sad.
It is and it isn't. I was thinking about it today because I really haven't done anything in a long time.
I know what you mean. I haven't either. I like arts and crafts, and I have not done anything.
Yeah, it's hard to find time. I had my hand in a lot of honey pots with this. You know, I started doing this podcast, mm-hmm. and that kind of became like my creative outlet. You can't do everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You gotta invest your time into one thing. So I was thinking about it today. So I'm just gonna donate all the stuff to like. Some school or something.
Yeah.
I could use it. You want to flip? Is your headphones on? Here, turn that one around. If you'd like do this. See how it kind of.
Oh, my gosh.
There you go.
I know. I was wondering.
I think if you flip it.
This year, I could hear.
If you flip it. Here, let's see it.
Maybe that one needs to flip.
There you go.
Oh,
just like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I could hear out of this one. Like,
could hear out of the other one.
All right, there we go.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm gonna give up art because you know you think about it too. You look at your peers, right? I got a lot of friends who do stuff,
mm-hmm.
and then you notice how far advanced they're getting and how you stayed stagnant. And you're like, okay, it's time maybe to hang this up.
It's true. It will take you a lot longer to do one piece of art.
Right. But, yeah. I've had this sitting here for 3 years probably, and I haven't touched it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're working. This is my creative outlet now. So.
I know. It's just that it's like growing up. You know?
It is. Yeah. It is. You know, you had that dream, or I did anyways, of I'm going to be a famous artist with my drawings. I'm going to make money.
Yeah.
And then you find out pretty quick that that's not going to happen, at least for me. But, I mean, in this city, it's definitely possible. I know. I mean, some of my friends are making a living painting murals and stuff.
Nice.
It's crazy.
Nice.
So tell us a little bit about you, like, personally. You're the director of the Brewing Arts program, mm-hmm. which you told me is not a degree but a certificate.
Program at USF St. Pete,
uh-huh.
out of the College of Arts and Sciences. They started the program back in October of 2015, but you were asking about my background. And so I've been in school most of my life. Most recently, I have a PhD in public health. And so I studied microbiology. And then I graduated from the program, and I was like in biomedical research, and it's just very stressful, and it's a difficult career to get into and to be successful, and, you know, not impossible, but difficult. And I just wanted to take a step back from it, and I started working at Green Bench Brewing here in St. Pete, and I helped them with their lab program. I knew Chris Johnson from my husband and I have been in the homebrewing community in the area for quite some time, and so I knew him through that. And so he asked me to come do work for them because he knew I was a microbiologist, and so I came and started up a lab for them, and I had a lot of fun. I enjoy, you know, the brewing, the science, the art to it. And then I also enjoy the industry and the community as well. And so I had a great time doing that. I do currently have a full-time position teaching public health. So I'm still in public health. So like you're saying, you're kind of in a couple pots, dipping in. So I do kind of find myself, I'm trying to connect the two, looking at, you know, public health of brewing, so, you know, maybe occupational safety or food safety, issues like that, that I could kind of bridge the two together.
Yeah, but isn't there, like, you could kill somebody if you do, like, especially with the sours, is that true, that you could maybe get too much of one bacteria in there and make people at least really sick at the very least?
So, to my knowledge, no one has gotten sick from a beer, and there's two reasons for that. The pH of it is very low, and it's lower than pathogens or the bacteria that could kill you, or, you know, other microorganisms that could kill you. And so the pH is too low to support them, as well as the alcohol content is too high. So they can't survive. So with sours, no. Yeah, actually, the bacteria that's in sours is similar to probiotics, or even is probiotics. And so they're healthy bacteria, so they cannot harm you. I know of some instances where beer has killed people, and it was from contamination from outside sources.
Like what kind of stuff, for example?
What was it? It was in Africa, and there was...
It was attacked by a lion when he was drinking the beer.
It was like... oh my God, I'm going to say this and I'm going to be so wrong, but I feel like it was like crocodile bile or something. It was something horrible.
Wow.
And I forget what it was exactly, but whatever it was poisonous and it contaminated the beer. So it was not in any way meant to be in that beer.
I see.
Shouldn't have been in that beer, and it contaminated and did kill people. To my knowledge, that's kind of the only incidents I've heard of in my lifetime. I mean, there may be others, but yeah, the way beer is, if you have alcohol and you have the pH that it should be at, then it really cannot harm you, to that extent. So, and maybe what you're referring to is, when you do spontaneous fermentation, there is a period when you first, so you take this wort and you have to cool it at this specific rate to get it, to get the right bacteria in it. And in this first, I don't know, there is articles on this, but I can't say for exact, but first couple of weeks or so, there are what are called enteric bacteria, which are potentially harmful. And so in that period, yes, you could be harmed if you drank that. But what you want to do is monitor the pH, and as long as the pH gets low, they'll die off and you'll have no problem.
So they live in acid?
No, they don't live in acid.
Oh, they don't live in acid.
Yeah, so beer pH is relatively low, and especially sours is low. And so, again, numbers in my head are not my memory's not great. But so I think it's around pH of... is it 5? I believe it's pH 5 or right around there, and I should know this, but it's right around there that pathogenic bacteria will not survive in anything lower, and beer is typically lower than that.
I see. Because it's the higher number means it's a base.
Yeah, so pH 7 is neutral.
Right.
And then 7 to 14 is basic or alkaline. And then pH 0 to 7 is acidic.
I see.
And so beer is acidic.
Gotcha, gotcha. Mm-hmm. Well, what you mentioned probiotics earlier. I think, I'm trying to figure out, I want your opinion, since this year. What do you think of them personally? We didn't have them. I mean, we do. We have yogurt and stuff, I guess. Mm-hmm. But now people are, like, taking these probiotic pills. I don't think it's good.
I don't think it'll harm them. So these probiotics, they have to get through your the acidity of your stomach. They have to survive and get to where they're supposed to go. So I wouldn't take them. I don't think it's doing anything.
I tend to agree.
I think it's a placebo effect,
yes,
you know.
People
yeah.
swear by them, but I think it's a placebo. What about vitamins? Do you take vitamins?
I recently had a baby, so I was on a prenatal vitamin, and that's because when you're pregnant, you do lose, especially iron. You need to increase your iron intake, so you need to take iron. That's medically proven.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it depends on your diet. Right now, I don't take vitamins. I feel I eat a wide variety of foods. I eat healthy. You know, I haven't gotten my vitamin levels tested. A lot of people... they're finding now that are deficient in vitamin D. They don't really know why, possibly
because people are staying inside and not going outside.
It's possible. Also how much sunscreen we put on, you know, because you're going to get it from the sunlight. And so, we are avoiding sunlight cause it's cancerous.
Yeah.
Right. And we're putting on sunscreen. We're being protective. So one thing that's healthy for you may be, you know, reducing something else that's healthy for you. So people do take vitamin D supplements, and vitamin C is something you can take. It won't hurt you. You just pee it out if you take too much.
Right,
so.
Right. I mean, isn't that pretty much... I kind of think vitamins are BS too, but I still take a multivitamin just in case.
Yeah.
For some reason, the probiotics just seem... I don't buy that. But vitamins just seem like, I'll just... Whatever.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. Yeah.
Cool, thanks. I got a PhD on me on that one. That's cool. So what is the... I know like the economic impacts of beer are huge, especially in Florida. It keeps going up every year, and I think I saw on the site they're predicting $2.5 billion statewide as revenue coming in from this industry.
So I can't, again, give you numbers, but beer nationwide is big revenue, and it's a great economic boost to every state. We actually have, we're pretty high. We're in the top 10 for number of breweries in our state, but we're 48th in the country for per capita, breweries per capita. So we actually have so much room to grow.
Really?
So, yeah, we have a lot of breweries, and I'm sure living in St. Pete, you've seen them popping up everywhere. And it seems like, you know, can we sustain all these breweries? But looking at the statistics, so the Brewers Association is a great national resource for statistics, and we're 48th in the nation for breweries per capita. So we have so much room to grow. And the same with the economics, the amount of money being made in the state for brewing is actually pretty low compared to nationwide averages. So Florida has a potential to grow bigger, definitely.
Yeah, I kind of thought that Florida was like leading the way with as far as...
We do have a high number of breweries. We are, again, in the top 10. I couldn't remember which one, but we're in the top 10 for number of breweries in the nation. So, but per capita, we're extremely low. So that means... room to grow. But Florida, a lot of people, I get a lot of people interested, and I think it is because Florida is kind of making their spot on the map for the brewing industry, and we have become more known for our breweries, which is great, because while we do have wineries, I don't think we're a state that's known for our wineries. So breweries, we have a great potential to be in the state and known for that. And definitely there are a lot of people who would love to do more beer tourism, and there definitely are businesses that surround that as well.
Yeah, you got the brew bus there that will take you around. I did that one time. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. I don't remember going to the last place because it was a bachelor party.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's definitely a branch off of the industry that you could do with it.
Yeah. Yeah, there are so many. You know, homebrewing is great here in Florida. Even when I moved here 8 years ago, the homebrewing scene was great. And I think that's really what's propelled the craft brewing industry in this area specifically, is that we had such a strong homebrewers community, you know, and the homebrewers are the ones who are driving the craft beer. And they're also, for, you know, until this program that we have that's educating people on the science and how to brew beer, that was the way you would do it, right? Is become a home brewer and just kind of self-taught. And those are the people who are in the industry now.
Yeah, I got buddies, but they're the Cage guys, Eric and Mark. Mm-hmm. Eric's story is great. I don't know if you know his story.
I don't know,
but
no.
He started working at this place, Arbar, down on Madeira Beach. Uh-huh. And they would do crab nights. Mm-hmm. So they had these huge pots available. So he was interested in that scene. He got, you know, he learned a bunch about it and wanted to start brewing. So he started brewing at work, kind of secretly.
Mm-hmm.
And one day the boss man found him and he said, "Oh yeah, I'm doing this." And he thought he was going to shut it down, I guess. But he's like, "Oh, that's cool." And then started serving his beer at our bar.
Awesome.
And then they eventually said, "You know what? Let's just do this beer thing full time." So the guy sold our bar, took that money, and then opened Cage.
Okay. I have not been there yet. My husband and I, we were avid and going to all these breweries, and then I had a baby.
yeah.
So I have not been up, and I miss it. I like to, go to the new breweries and test them out, and I used to know everyone, and now I don't. But I have heard of Cage Brewing, and I did know about Arbar, and I've heard great things about Arbar as well.
Yeah, he does. I mean, I guess I'm biased because their buddy, you know. Mm-hmm. But I tend to go there most out of everybody, but their beer's good too.
Yeah.
I mean,
I
so
have to go. Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta check it out. Mm-hmm. And they're doing improvements to it all the time. It's looking good now. It's a little plain, but now it's turning into a cool hangout spot. That's what I notice about breweries too, is they're more than just a place to go get drunk. I mean, of course, mm-hmm. you can do that there, but it's kind of like a community gathering center. Yes. You got kids, mm-hmm. you got dogs, you know, you got everybody there. Mm-hmm. And I have mixed emotions, like, What do you think? Should kids be at breweries?
I totally think so. Yes.
You think so?
Yes.
Tell me why. Because I've heard mixed opinions.
I've done some traveling in Europe. I don't know how extensive, a few weeks here or there. But in Europe, you know, you don't separate children and alcohol, because alcohol is not this thing that's just adults are just going to drink until they get, you know, stupid and act stupid. It's just part of life. You know, Germany, Belgium, all these countries are England are built on brewing industry and having beer. And so it's just a part of culture. So I don't think you need to separate children from beer. And, you know, getting into a little opinion here, but very much opinion, but I think that's part of the problem in the U.S. is that we shelter our children from alcohol and beer and tell them it's bad and they shouldn't be around it, and then once they're old enough to be around it, they don't know how to act or what to do, and you know, and so I think bringing them up in a culture where they see an adult drinking a beer, it's okay.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, having a beer or two a day, just like a glass of wine, you know, now I think people accept that wine has health benefits and people drink a glass of wine a day, and beer has those same health benefits. And just, you know, people just have this kind of stigma for beer that they don't have for wine. Right. Put them in different categories, and they're not. So you can go to dinner and have a glass of wine and have your child there. You know, you go to a brewery, you have a beer, you usually have a food truck or, you know, something. I mean, if I go to a brewery, I want food there. So yeah. A food truck is great. Or if there's a restaurant nearby, I can get food. That's fine. So, you know, it's I think it's great, like what Green Bench does and has, and again, I'm partial, right? But how they have, you know, community markets there. They have, I know children go on weekends as families. It's a community, it's a place to meet up and have an adult beverage.
Sure,
which I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It's not like going to some dingy bar where everyone's smoking cigarettes and just drinking alcohol, you know, and it's not the same.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I've seen posts on Facebook about why are children in a brewery? And I think these people probably haven't been to breweries because most breweries do have that feeling that you feel comfortable bringing a child there. Not all of them, certainly some, you know, are more for adults, but there are, it depends on the brewery, right? And the feel of the brewery.
Yeah. Jennifer Cedillo, the USF St. Petersburg director of the Brewing Art Certificate Program, is on the Homemade broadcast this week. I think with that too, is that it's people who criticize kids being there don't like kids. That's pretty much what it is. They wouldn't care where they were at. But I think they have that stigma, too, of, well, you know, this is a place where alcohol is being served. I don't know if it's just that, I don't know, that old mentality of, you know, alcohol is bad, but they're still drinking it. Puritanical, I guess. It's just embedded in us or something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, since Prohibition days, it's kind of been, I think it's in, you know, teetotalers and all of this, it's, you know, kind of ingrained in American culture where I don't think it is in other countries. It was never demonized like it was here in the U.S.
And
I don't think it needs to be demonized. You be responsible, you know, and then you won't have these adults who have never been exposed to it. And in college, all of a sudden, they go free and they go binge drinking and have alcohol poisoning, you know, because they didn't grow up with it. And in Europe, we were in, I believe it was in Germany. We were in this, I think it was a restaurant brewery, and we were having a meal, and these two families came in, the adults and some children, I'd say around 10, the age of 10. The adults sat in one booth. The children sat in another booth. The children ordered a beer.
And really? Drank
a, yeah, there's no, you know, age limits. Oh. So this 10-year-old is drinking a beer at the booth with his other children and his, I'm saying 10, maybe he's 12, you know, I don't know.
Must be hammered off one beer because they're like 60 pounds.
Yeah, so, you know, Germany, one of the beer styles is very light in alcohol. So like 3%, you know, or something. So I don't know what beer he ordered, but it was light. It wasn't, you know, a pint. It was a glass, though. And he drank it and there, you know, there was no issues. It wasn't like he's getting drunk and he's being, you know, erratic or crazy with the other kids. It's just normal. You're having dinner, you have a beer, you know?
Yeah. Well, I guess it's more in great. I've always heard that they brewed beer and they would drink. That's what they would drink because they couldn't drink the water. I don't know if that's true or not, but
Certainly monks in Belgium and the abbeys, and yeah, that's certainly why they had it. So again, it's a very low alcohol, right? You can have like, and I again, my numbers for memory are terrible, but let's say just 3% beer or 2% beer, something very low, but it's enough to kill off the pathogens and be able to drink. And you're right. And those times the water was not safe, but making it into a beer with very light, it doesn't have to be high in alcohol. And so, you know, I certainly, as I get older, I definitely, the higher gravity beers or the high alcohol beers are definitely something I'm like, whew, you know, maybe just a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, but so, you know, a low alcohol beer is, you know, soft drink.
Well, I mean, alcohol too is almost, it's something that binds all of humanity. Every culture kind of has this process, and we figured it out somewhere along the way a long time ago too.
Right. Yeah. Fermentation, yeah. I mean, it's an old process. Before we even knew how to control it, they were fermenting, you know, grapes. They were fermenting other fermentables. But yeah, I mean, it's a part of culture throughout time, and I don't think it's something that we should demonize or think is wrong.
Yeah.
Know?
I wonder, I'm starting to almost believe in God because of, like, all these little coincidences that happen. You know, I think they're just, like, little gifts. Like, yeah, life's hard. Here's pot or here's some alcohol. Everyone just knows how to do it somehow. But I just think about that first guy who just found something and then drank it and then just dropped dead. And then like, but that didn't deter him. He's like, we're going to give it another shot. We're going to try it out again. And then eventually, after multiple deaths, we had booze. It just brought everybody together. So where do you see the Florida beer scene kind of going from here?
That's a good question. You know, I don't know if I've thought about that recently. I would like to see it increase. I'm in Tampa, and we're actually moving, hopefully, to Safety Harbor. And so Safety Harbor does have one brewery in town.
It's Crooked Thumb, right? Yeah, I've been there once. It's cool.
And so that will be our local brewery. Right now, 610 is our local brewery. So, yeah, I would love to see that everyone has a local brewery that they go to. And, again, it's a place for community, meeting, and then, you know, having these different types of beer. You know, in Belgium, they will have local breweries, and they just make one or two types of beer, but that's what everyone drinks. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't drink some huge conglomerate beer, right? You drink the local beer. And so I hope this continues. I would like to see more education to the consumers in Florida about craft beer and about their local brewery and, you know, supporting them.
What's government doing to kind of help? I know it's been a hindrance as far as recent. There was some rule with bottling or canning. I forget what happened, but that finally got pushed aside, and now breweries are more able to distribute their product. Do you know anything? I mean, this was probably a couple years ago now when this happened.
Yeah, so the Florida Brewers Guild, they're very involved in lobbying and governmental affairs. Let me try to think. The last law, so what did they do that was good? Oh, geez.
I thought they did something where they were allowing, or they had to sell it to a big distributor or something, and then the distributor would distribute it, I think.
Yes.
I should have done research on this too beforehand. I forget.
And I know that I've known this. It was a few years ago. We did. There were politicians who were supporting the craft brewing industry in this law, and it was considered a win. All I can think of is the negative, which was that you can't self-distribute.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Something similar to that. You had to sell it to a big distribution company.
Yeah.
And then they could kind of, and they don't have incentive to get rid of it, I guess, because they're trying to push their own, you know, the big stuff.
So we have the three-tier system where they're separate. So the brewer cannot be the distributor. They have to go through a distribution company. And
why? Why can't they just sell their product that they made?
It's archaic. A lot of people would like to see that change.
Yeah. Is that kind of the next battle that's on the craft beer front?
I don't think so.
That's on the back burner.
Yeah, I don't think that's an issue that people really... It would be a battle, and then you'd kind of be pitting distributors who do work with breweries, and you know, some distribution companies are great and do great things for craft beer. You'd kind of be pitting them against each other, possibly. You know, breweries would still want to use distribution companies. So even if they were, right now they're forced to, but even if they weren't forced to, they'd still want to, because you know, self-distributing your beer, you have to physically get the kegs to, you know, if you want to go to Jacksonville, you'd have to physically get them there.
Yeah.
So a distribution company does that for you. So, you know, a brewery would still want a distribution company. But the way it's set up now is they have to. I wish I could remember what that was.
I know, me too. Yeah, I remember reading about it years ago. But
I think it was for okay, I remember now. So it was growler sales. So I remember this. So in Florida, a lot of our laws come from, and I want to say the right company, Anheuser-Busch Gardens.
Yep.
In there. So from a long time ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so You're allowed to sell 32-ounce containers and 120-ounce containers. 128, did I say that right? 128
right.
ounce. Yes. So breweries that sell growlers could only sell 32-ounce or 128 ounces. 128 ounces.
It's huge.
Yeah. It's in 32 ounces is two beers, right? So the industry standard is 64-ounce growlers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We were not allowed to sell those in Florida. It was illegal to sell a 64-ounce growler.
Mm-hmm.
And so while you can get glassware that's 32 and 128 ounces, 64 ounces is the standard in all other states. So that was what the fight was for. And we did gain the ability to sell 64-ounce beers.
And I wonder where a law would even – how would that even come up? What?
It was about – I forget how the law was written, but it was something about – being under a certain ounce, I think it's so that you can't sell 40 ounces of beer.
But when did they determine that 40 was the number that's just too much? Now, you could get two 32s
if
you want, or 132s if you want to.
Right.
But 40. But
so a single serving, right? So,
yeah.
I forget where there is reasoning behind it. And again, it goes to Anheuser-Busch, and I forget what the reasoning was, but there was reasoning behind
it. I wonder
it.
If that's because, like, the competition, like, came into 40-ounce bottles, like, real cheap, fell off the back of a truck, and then they started bottling in 40s, and then they just lobbied for, nope, you can only do 32s. There's no way this is true, by the way. I'm just popping it around in my head and kicking it around how this could have happened.
There, you know, something like that. There was a reason behind it. I cannot give you the reason, but there was definitely a reason for
it. A dumb reason, I'm sure, no doubt. Jennifer Cedillo is the University of South Florida, St. Petersburg Brewing Arts Certificate Program Director. And this is an online program, right?
So, the certificate program, we have 21 weeks of online coursework. So all of the coursework is online. Lectures are online. You discuss, you interact with faculty online. And then after the online portion, you have hands-on training in a local brewery. So currently we're partnered with 18 breweries in the Tampa Bay area and Gainesville that we can currently place students in to do the hands-on training. We're always looking for more breweries and hope to partner. We'd love to partner with every brewery, you know, communicating and getting with breweries. The partnership is just slow. So we have 18 breweries now. And so a person who goes through the program does the online and then does the hands-on training. We've had people both in-state and out-of-state. And so if they're not in the area, then they can find a brewery that will allow them to do their hands-on training there. And we've had people do that.
Yeah. So you said 21 weeks online. Mm-hmm. And then how many weeks is in the brewery?
So the way it is it's the equivalent of 80 hours of hands-on training, but it's a competency-based internship. So it's just based on competency. So we don't track hours. We track competencies. So you need to learn, all the steps in the brewing process, from mashing in to mashing out, fermenting, to packaging. You need to learn all those steps, and the mentor at the brewery will sign off saying that they do understand these steps and have completed these steps and understand them. And so that's basically what it is. We do have the equivalent of 80 hours, and that's because we recently were recognized by the Master Brewers Association of the Americas for our certificate program.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's great. I'm super excited about it. So they are a very long standing professional and technical organization. So they're very into the science of beer, and they saw all these educational programs popping up, and they decided, well, we need to have a standard so that students aren't going to these programs and not meeting the requirements, right? Or a basic standard set of what should be learned. And so they started this program of recognizing educational programs throughout the nation. So we applied, and they accepted us. So we're recognized, and so we do meet a certain standard according to the MBAA for our education.
How many like how many programs like this are across the country? Is this unique or?
No, we're not unique. There are many programs. I mean, I guess I shouldn't say we're not unique. You know, every program's unique, and we are unique in that all of our coursework is online, and then you are able to do the training from anywhere. So we can accept students from anywhere in the country or even outside of the country, where other programs may not be able to do that because it's in person. Mm-hmm. So we are unique in that fashion. But there are other certificate programs that exist. There are also, you can get, I don't know if you can get associate's degrees. You can get bachelor's degrees. You can get graduate degrees in fermentation sciences, you know, hop chemistry, all of, and these have been longstanding programs, mostly out in the West. Oregon State University and University of California, Davis are, have large programs and you know, they really lead, the academics for brewing science.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there are other certificate programs like ours that are non-academic. And
how many people do you take, and how long does it, is it 21 weeks and you start a new one, or how does it work?
So right now we currently are having two start dates in July and January of each year, and we accept 20 students per cohort. If we get a lot of interest and we're filling up with classes, we certainly can add a third, but at this time, we're gauging interest still and seeing how that goes. So this class just started on Monday, the class right now in July, and we actually have 22 students. So we had a few more than, what we say is the cap, but, you know, we're not going to turn a student away if we can, handle that. And so because we currently work with 18 breweries, we're confident we can place them all. And that's really what's capping us, is we want to make sure that we can place all students in a brewery for their hands-on training.
Mm-hmm. What's the financial impact on somebody wanting to do this program? Is there any, I would imagine since it's a certificate, there's not really any student aid. It's going to be...
Correct. We do not have financial aid. The USF Credit Union does give loans specifically for our program, educational loans for our program. Besides that, right now we do. There is no other way to get help in financial aid. We have offered for the last two classes an award to a veteran. And that's a full scholarship. And so we have one veteran in this class, and we had one veteran in the last class. And so, but those are private awards. This class, it was sponsored by Great Bay Distributing, and the last class was sponsored by Three Daughters.
Mm-hmm.
We are currently applying for GI Bill acceptance into their program. We cannot currently use the GI Bill in our program, but we're hoping.
Is that because it's a certificate, not a technical degree?
So the GI Bill, actually what they want is to educate veterans for work, right? They don't want you to get an education and not be able to find a job.
Yeah, yeah.
So our program actually fits exactly what they want veterans to be able to do. And so you just have to apply to it because we're a new program. We're not, so we're making the application. I'm fairly confident we will get it by January, the next class, and be able to accept the GI Bill for our program. I'm fairly confident.
That's good. Good news.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your favorite beer that you've ever had? I know that's hard.
Ever had?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so hard.
Or even in the, I know you just had a baby, so you probably haven't drank any in a while.
Oh no, that's not true.
You've been playing catch up?
While I was pregnant, I didn't drink. And, you know, as I said, with people have a glass of wine a day in pregnancy, you can have a beer, but I had morning sickness all day. And so beer actually made me nauseous, which stunk. So, and I didn't know if I would ever drink beer again while I was pregnant. I'm like, oh my gosh, am I never going to want to drink a beer again? And then about 6 weeks after I had him, I wanted a beer. So, I'm we currently drink at home. We don't get to breweries out as much, you know, so I have a glass of beer every night at home. Currently, I'm drinking Coppertail Free Dive at home.
That's good.
But,
I like that one.
Yeah, I've been really into IPAs ever since I came off of pregnancy. I don't know how to say that. But I like the full gamut of beers. I like a good stout. I used to enjoy sours. I'm going to say I can't drink them as much anymore. Yeah, I need to get back. And those are something that's an acquired taste, and I didn't drink them for so long that I need to start drinking them again. I still like a good Brett beer that's not sour, but, you know, a little funky.
Yeah.
I'll still enjoy that. But a sour beer like, you know, the Florida Weisses that we're known for around here, I just can't do it right now. And so, but yeah, I don't know if I can say my favorite beer. Okay, I can be really...
let me simplify it. What's your favorite local beer that's brewed here in St. Peter's or Tampa Bay in general?
Well, again, partial Green Bench because I work there, but, you know, I love... it's really hard. And it depends on your mood and everything. I guess I really do like their Grisette. That is one of my favorite.
That's Green Benches?
Yeah, it's a Brett beer, and it's one of my favorites. And their Sunshine City's good. Cycles. What is their IPA?
The Fixie,
and is it Crank?
Crank.
Yeah,
yep.
I mean their IPAs are good or solid.
Yeah, they are.
But yeah, I mean. You know, I could probably pick a beer from each brewery and say that's my favorite.
I feel you. I always end up going back to the IPAs no matter what. I don't know why. It's just what I'm most comfortable drinking, I guess. But also at the same time, are you one of these people who, like, if you see a Bud Light, you're disgusted by?
Yeah, I won't drink a Bud Light. Like, if my choice is Bud Light or no beer, I'll go no beer.
Oh man, see, I don't mind Budweiser.
Yeah,
I don't mind a good Budweiser. Nice cold, if it's nice and cold, and I pull it right out of the ice. Oh man, it's delicious.
I don't think I can do it. Now I grew up in Pennsylvania, so a nice Yingling, cold Yingling,
sure,
anytime, sure.
That's always a really highly rated beer. Anyways, people seem to like that one no matter what.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely the first beer I remember drinking. My relatives always had it. You know, everyone had it, and so it's definitely something I would always drink.
Even if you're at the beach and you just want a nice cold lager, you wouldn't drink a Corona with a lime in it?
I don't think so.
Oh my gosh.
I mean maybe I'm saying that, and you know, I would do it, but I don't think so. I'd go with like a mixed drink or something, you know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't True. I just couldn't do it. I don't know.
I hate when you go to like a beach bar and then you'll get a Corona. I like a Corona with a lime at the beach. It's one of those things pounded in my head. But then when they put it in a plastic cup,
yeah,
that freaks me out. I won't drink that.
You won't drink
it. Has to be in that glass bottle for whatever reason.
I understand that. Yeah, I don't. Those are beers like I'll cook with. If we have parties, if someone leaves it at my house, I'll cook with it.
I got a Coors Light in there. I'm gonna drink after you leave just to cleanse my palate. So if people are interested in the program, where do they go to find out about it? And is there like social media and stuff?
Yeah, we do have a Facebook page. I would like us to have a more social media presence, but at this time, our program is still pretty new, so we're pretty low on the radar. We do have the website, which...
USFSP.edu/brewing-arts. You can find it there. And if you just Google, I don't understand why people just can't do this, just put in USF Brewing Arts.
Yeah.
And then in Google, and it'll pull it up, no problem.
A lot of people, we ask people when they start our program how they found our program, and it is a Google search.
Yep.
Just putting in Brewing Arts program, it comes up. And so you can do that. We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter, but I'm going to say we don't post that much on Twitter. So
yeah, go to the website. It's got all the info on there. Jennifer, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, there you go. Jennifer Cedillo, USF St. Petersburg's Brewing Arts Director. If you're interested, that website again is usfsp.edu/brewing-arts. Just Google Brewing Arts, USF St. Pete. It'll come right up for you. Thank you for listening this week to the Homemade Broadcast. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned because Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming to you live next. And then right after that, we got the Indie Circuit. So make sure you stay tuned if you're listening on podcasts. Oh, I certainly do appreciate that. I love you. Let me send you some stickers. Email me, thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. And make sure you follow me on Twitter, home_made_man. And on Facebook, you can find me at HMB Radio. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast to keep up. Sometimes we got some extra content. We got HMB sites sometimes, which are exclusive to HMB Radio. So subscribe, rate the podcast. It helps us out. And I will talk to you next week. My name is Will Koontz. This is RadioSaintPete.com, and this is HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Have a fantastic week, ladies and gentlemen. Talk to you later.